This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today. Love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. Today is Wednesday, and you know what that means. It means that Sue is with us. It's a wacky Wednesday. We're going to be taking your questions about all kinds of strange things that you see out there. We certainly do want to separate the fact from fiction, and we want to separate the truth from the darkness. And so we invite you to join us here live on Women of Grace Live, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. So I do invite you, pick up the phone and just give us a call, right? We want to talk with you today and see what's going on in your world and what is on your mind. We're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. We invite you to use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll get it retrieved and I will get it up on the board and I will be able to address it and ask Sue all about it. So we invite you to use that means to communicate with us as well. We invite you also to text your question to us or your comment. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Tell us who you are, how you're listening, and where you're calling from. Do know that data and message rates may apply if you use that option. But all of those ways are ways that you can reach us today. Have a number for you, too, if you're outside of North America. That number is country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. So please do join us today. If you're a first-time caller and or a first-time submitter, we certainly want to know about that because I will ring my little welcome bell for you. And I love to ring that little bell. It's just so cheerful, isn't it? A little ting-a-ling-a-ling. Never hurts anybody. So we invite you to join us today. I also like to invite you always to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. We've got all kinds of great things there for you. I'm very excited about a couple of things that are coming up. We've got a beautiful, beautiful opportunity for young women. You know, we've got our Young Women of Grace study for young ladies. It's taking place in lots of different areas. We want to invite you to participate as a facilitator in leading young women of grace into a deeper understanding and appreciation of who they are in the eyes of God and the great gift of their authentic femininity. We want to confirm them in their vocation as young women, in their vocation to be adult women someday with great impact in all kinds of ways. They can impact their social group right now. We want to form and shape these young girls according to the mind and the heart of God. Our Young Women of Grace Foundational Study, which Sue Brinkman worked tirelessly on, is just such a great, great opportunity for them. We're having a Young Women of Grace Advent online event for our young women. It is taking place December the 6th. The theme is Say Yes, Lord, Prepare for Advent with Our Blessed Mother. These are fun, interactive online events for young women. We say teenagers, right? You know, 13, somewhere 13, 12, even 12, 13 on up through high school. Again, it's Friday, December the 6th, 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Young Women of Grace Advent online event. Of course, the theme being Advent. So we do all kinds of things with them. It's a lot of fun. They get to participate, as I say. Our presenter is going to be Mary Dillenback. We are going to have opportunities for them to get to know a great saint. This one is Saint Francis Cabrini. They'll learn a word to know, a word that is from our Catholic lexicon. They'll also learn, you know, what the church has to say about different things with regard to the topic, and they'll pray a decade of the rosary together. There's all kinds of beautiful opportunities that we have today in so very, very many ways to help us live the abundant life and to share it with others, regardless of age. So I invite you to join. And, I'll just say, adult women, if you want to come and see what this is like, we would invite you to come too. I'm inviting mothers to come with their daughters, or aunties to come with their nieces, or grandmas to come with their granddaughters. We just want you to come. Young Women of Grace Advent online event. And get this, it's free of charge. It's free of charge. So get out to our website. You have to register so we can send you the link. But golly gee, it's going to be a beautiful evening for the girls. Do want to remind you about our upcoming Benedicta Institute for Women week-long winter immersive. The Read of God, Our Lady in Scripture and Devotion is the title of this. It's in our core theme of Mariology and the Feminine Genius. If you are working towards or want to work towards a certification in Catholic women's leadership through the Benedicta Institute, this would be the course for that bucket, the required course for that bucket. We've got all of the information available for you out there. If you just want to come for spiritual enrichment, come for that too. Dr. Donald Wallenfang, our spiritual advisor, will be presenting it. He's a marvelous presenter. The women who have taken the classes with him in the past absolutely love him. He is engaging. He is brilliant. It is fun. We just have a beautiful opportunity, and we walk away, I think, just enriched in so many ways. Bishop William Walter Scheid, auxiliary bishop in the Diocese of Pittsburgh, is going to be with us as well. Just beautiful opportunities for us to dig deeply into what our Catholic faith teaches us about who we are as women and how we can bring the feminine genius to bear upon this, our day and time. And oh, may I say to you, it is so necessary for us to be who it is that God's created us to be, and to help other women know who they are as well. I do think, to a large extent, that women today have a significant, maybe the significant role to play in bringing the life of Jesus Christ to the world and the world to Jesus Christ. So we invite you to check out Women of Grace. Take our foundational study. If you haven't taken it yet, we've got facilitators in various parts of the world. Here in the United States, of course, to a great degree. We invite you to find out more about it. If you are listening to us and you're in Ireland, or you're in England, or you're in Scotland, in any English-speaking country, we want you to know that we've got the study available for you digitally online, because it can be very expensive to ship. So as a result of that, we've got the study online. If you are listening to us and you're bilingual and you speak Spanish, I want you to know we've got the study in Spanish available for you. That is going to be up online probably by the end of this week in Spanish, but we have it in hard copy form at our website for you. We've had women participating in Central America, South America. We've had women from Mexico. We've had women from Spain. We have Hispanic groups here in this country. We invite you to join us. We have the study available for you through our Ukrainian regional coordinator in the Ukrainian language. So all of this being said, we're very, very eager to live the mission to transform the world one woman at a time through a variety of means. When we come back, Sue Brinkman is going to be with us. Call us with your questions, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Go to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and leave your question for us in the chat feature. We'll get it retrieved. We'll answer your call. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. Well, there you have it. You hear that music. You know what it means. It means it's Wednesday, and it means that Sue Brinkman is with us, and we're delighted to have her with us every Wednesday to answer all of our questions that we might have on some of the strange, weird things that we see going on in our culture today. Sue is the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful researcher for our New Age blog that's available for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. We invite you to get out there. You can access any topic area in the New Age by simply putting it into the search feature once you're on the blog. It'll pull up multiple articles on any given topic. We've got over 1,700 questions and answers out there. And these are not pithy answers. These are articles. These particular answers to your questions or questions that have come into us give you a bunch of information. So you can actually make a study on a particular topic area just by going to the blog. In addition to that, we have a podcast by Sue for you archived in our library, Grace Under Fire, Exposing the Darkness, our podcast with Sue, where she'll take a topic area and give you, you know, a short couple of minute response with regard to it. Very helpful. If you need something at the quick, you know, it's a great way, or if you just prefer a podcast rather than reading, it's a great way to access a lot of good information about these kinds of topics. She's got one up there now that is pertinent to Advent, and we're excited about that. So you can check that one out. It's a brand new one, but there's numbers of them up there. So you can get the information that you need right that way. We invite you also to check out the resources that we have available for you at Women of Grace and also through EWTN's religious catalog on these various kinds of topic areas. Sue has written a number of books on this. Her compendium on the New Age is absolutely fantastic. I think it should be in every home because, you know, the culture is rife with all of this stuff right now. We want to be able to separate the truth from the darkness. So we do invite you to get out there. I do want to mention to you too, that if you get out to our website, womenofgrace.com, you're going to see on the right-hand side a button that says on-demand studies and videos. I was telling you about our foundational study and all that stuff that's available for you online now, digitally. You're going to find them located there. But pertinent to our topic there, you're also going to find an offering, Smiting Serpents, Battle Strategies for Catholic Women. And this is a video series, a series with Father Jose Francisco Sequoia. And he, in addition to that, myself, Kathleen Beckman, Adam Bly, and Sue Brinkman, it was a beautiful, beautiful retreat that we put on under that topic area. And it's available for you there. You can watch it. You can actually download it onto your computer and have it for yourself anytime you want to access it. You're going to get fantastic information through this offering. So that is part of the on-demand feature too. There are others up there. One, Healed for Holiness, a 7-part on-demand video series. Also, At the Foot of the Cross, God's Infinite Mercy. Beautiful things available for you there. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us today. That's 833-288-3986. We invite you to call with your question. We certainly do. It's a toll-free number for you right here in North America. You can use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Put in your question or comment. Tell us who you are and where you're from. We'll get the question retrieved and up on the board. If you're a first-time caller or first-time submitter, let us know. We will ring our welcome bell for you. Hey, Sue, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am doing very, very well. What a delight it is to come together as we continue to discuss these crazy things that we see going on.
I know. It's like a never-ending stream of craziness. But I secretly love it. I actually do love it. When I get something in here, which is just about every day, that I have never heard of before, I just think, oh, good, I get to go figure out what this is, you know? So I actually love doing it, even though some of the things I find can be very distressing. But I do like to go out on, it's the search, I think, that it's like an adventure. You know, you never know what I'm going to find.
Yeah,
I start to look. So
you are a researcher, so you love research.
I do. I just like to dig around until I find things. So, yeah, and we do find things. Some of the questions we get are, not some of them, all of the questions we get, I consider to be good questions. Because they tell me that people really care, not just about themselves and their own situation, why they wrote, but they care enough to write to a place that I think most people know by now, we publish. these questions, which means they're helping everybody.
That's right.
By asking that question.
That's right.
And maybe we can just steer them to an existing blog, and that's fine too. But in many, many cases, we're able to publish their question, and we do it all, of course, with just initials. We don't, and anything that's identifying, any identifying feature, we would eliminate from their question. But and we do publish it so that everybody gets to take advantage of you know, their query.
Yeah.
So I just take my hat off to them. They're being very charitable by doing that. I'll probably get like a whole lot more questions now, but that's okay. Keeping me busy.
Well, you know, I'll say this about that. You know, anytime we have a question or you get a question from someone, the fact of the matter is that probably represents, you know, hundreds of other people that have the same question. So this is why the New Age blog is such a great resource for people. Because the fact of the matter is you get those questions and you answer those questions, and it's most likely, you know, there are people that have that same question. They're going to find the answer for it there. So it is an act of charity. So we do invite you to send Sue your questions regarding the New Age. You can do it through info@womenofgrace.com or S. Brinkman with two N's on the end at womenofgrace.com, or you can go directly to newage.womenofgrace.com. Those are all of the ways in which you can get information to Sue. But newage.womenofgrace.com is an immediate link to take you right to the blog. But we do want you to check out our website too, womenofgrace.com, and you can get into the blog that way too. Well, Sue, you've got, you know, here we are, and we're making our way towards, you know, the Christmas season. We know that, you know, next week, is it next week already? Gracious. Thanksgiving is happening.
Yes.
And we know that that's the kickoff to this time. Lots of people are going to be shopping. They're going to be buying stuff. And we want them to be aware of the fact that not everything is created equal. And we want to be sure that we're buying things that are not in some way compromised by some kind of occult or New Age reference.
Yes, absolutely. And sometimes it can seem to be the most innocent thing. We just had a question from someone who said that a friend gave her a silver bracelet that has the Aztec calendar on it. And is the calendar anti-Christian or linked in any way to the occult, was her question. Now, that was probably the Holy Spirit who prompted her to, hey, you should ask a question about this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because she did. She wrote in about it. Normally, I mean, would you really even do that? A lot of people wouldn't maybe even think to do that, but she did. And boy, did she hit it on the money. It is absolutely an occult image. And it represents, Johnette, not just a calendar method, but it actually represents that bloodthirsty god, Tonatiuh, who was the god that the Aztec people sacrificed all those people to. That's who's at the center of the Mayan calendar, is this Aztec god. He's worshipped, he's called the Lord of Heaven. And he's featured, as you'll see it, I have an image of him on there on the blog that I wrote about it. He has, you know, blonde hair because it's supposedly due to the golden rays of the sun. And his tongue always protrudes as in the shape of an obsidian knife, which indicates that this deity demands to be fed with blood and specifically human hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, estimates in history range as high as 20,000 people a year were sacrificed to this god. Usually it was slaves and captives who were the most frequent sacrifices during the time of the Aztecs. But women and children were also sacrificed on occasion. And the usual means of sacrifice was either by fire, by drowning, or they would cut the heart out while the person was still alive.
Yes. Beating
so
heart is what he wanted.
This is what
God, they said.
Yes. This is what that calendar has on it. And I end this blog with the question, why would anyone consider that image to be an adornment? Why would anyone do it? The only good thing I see about it is that Our Lady of Guadalupe put a stop to this.
That's
when
right.
She appeared to Juan Diego, and that was probably one of the largest mass conversions in the history of the world, was what happened in Mexico after she appeared to Juan Diego and put it, and just shut down the whole thing. It just stopped. But they estimate millions of people were offered up to this to this terrible God. So you need to be careful about jewelry. And I think that a lot of people might take that to be, oh, Sue, you know, you're being overly scrupulous. But really, it's not. There's a lot of jewelry out there, and particularly Native American jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of their stuff has symbols on it that are pagan. They're, you know, they were an animistic type people. Animistic, that's what their beliefs were, animistic, rather. And the belief that they believe spirits inhabit everyone and everything. And what their shamans would do would be to call upon the spirits so that they could harness those powers. It would actually let those spirits possess them so that they could have those powers, and they would use the powers then in various, you know, rituals and that sort of thing. But the makers of some of this jewelry, it's not the tribes themselves, but it's the makers of some of the jewelry, they put blessings on them.
Mm-hmm.
The shamans put blessings on them. And I've looked up several of these, you know, what are these blessings? And one maker of so-called sacred jewelry states on her website, she says, ancient cultures have always revered jewelry as tools of magic or talismans, medicine bundles that carry a specific power, alchemy, story, or intention. And she says that, you know, this is spirit magic. All of her pieces are imbued with intention. And it's a one-of-a-kind piece of spirit magic. Do you really want to wear something like that?
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't think so. I don't really want your blessing on that. Another one I found, she says that she has this jewelry maker, says she has a unique ability to channel the spiritual world into the pieces of jewelry that she's making.
Oh, dear.
She can bring, you know, mystery, you know, good fortune, and a touch of magic to anyone who wears them. So these are talismans.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just jewelry. These are talismans. They come with blessings upon them that are not really blessings. They shouldn't even
That
word. They're, you know, intonations or invocations that are prayed over these pieces of jewelry. And you don't want that stuff hanging around your neck or dangling from your wrist. I mean, you definitely do not want that. So I think, like, before we get into the gifting season, to just be very careful about any kind of jewelry that you might be giving to people. Stay away from things that are symbolic. You can get sometimes Hindu symbols and that, or of course, zodiac signs and that. A lot of that jewelry has blessings upon them. And they come right out and say it. They brag about it and say that, oh yeah, we have blessings on it. Alex and Annie, those famous bracelets that company's kind of gone kaput now, but I think they're still out there, but they're nothing like what they used to be because of some of these practices that they would employ shamans and shamans and that to bless their facilities and that. And they would use numerology to choose the most auspicious dates for store openings, and they would bless their workplaces with shamans. So just be careful about jewelry during the Christmas season, and especially if you're buying it online, just do a little looking around. A lot of these places, if they're going to put blessings on it, they brag about that. They think it's a wonderful thing. And I'm sure they do believe it's a wonderful thing.
Well, and they,
but if you're a Christian, you don't want that.
No. And they call them a blessing. But you know, mm-hmm. blessing, the positive connotation of blessing is something that comes from God. You're right? So, you know,
right.
Basically what they're doing is they're I don't even know what the word would be. It's not quite a curse in the traditional sense of a curse. But they're you know, they're imbuing them, you know, in a certain sense with something that is not holy. And we don't want to get involved in that. And so I'm so glad that the woman asked that question. And the other thing of it is, you know, a lot of people, when they go to a foreign country, let's suppose they travel to Mexico, or let's suppose they, you know, travel to someplace in the East, let's suppose that they, you know, go to, you know, Taiwan or places like this. It's customary. You want to bring a souvenir back, right? And sometimes people will bring, you know, bring back paintings, and they'll bring back jewelry, as you're saying, or they'll bring back pieces of pottery, or they'll bring back statuary. And they're not aware of the fact that, yes, while it's a reminiscent for you, a reminiscence of you know, a trip that you took that maybe you really enjoyed, or it was a once-in-a-lifetime oftentimes, these things are indigenous to the culture, and the culture is pagan. And you don't want to bring that into your home. You know, you don't want to do that. So, I mean, I understand how tempting it can be when you're in these different marketplaces and in these different countries, but we have to be very, very circumspect about what it is that we, you know, allow into our home for the very reason that you stated. We don't know if there's a hex or something like that, or a spell or something that's on these things. And it isn't that, you know, we want people to be hiding underneath, you know, a bushel basket or something, afraid to do anything. No, absolutely not. You know, because we know that we have the protection of our faith, et cetera, but we don't presume upon that either. We don't put ourselves into what could be a spiritually perilous situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You just got to be careful with the jewelry, because I think sometimes people tend to wear jewelry in a superstitious way.
Yes.
I mean, you can actually wear a cross or a scapular in a superstitious way.
That's right.
By saying, oh, this is a magic, you know, this is going to protect me, this piece of jewelry. No, the piece of jewelry does not protect you. The crucifix or the scapular, it's the blessing of our Lord,
right,
that's keeping you safe. But especially, you know, with zodiac jewelry.
Yes.
I've come across some places that make the jewelry, and they claim that they're able to align the gemstone with your birth chart. Mm-hmm. And then they create what they call a personalized Vedic astrology talisman that you can then carry with you wherever you go. You can have this little talisman. Crystals, same thing with crystals. Although there's nothing wrong with crystals, we get questions a lot from people who say, can I wear this crystal necklace that someone bought me? You absolutely can wear a crystal. God created them. They're beautiful. But don't wear that crystal because you think it's going to bring you abundance.
Yes.
Or, you know, good luck and stuff. That's when you turn that object into a talisman. And we don't want to get into any kind of superstition with jewelry. And I think jewelry has a tendency to kind of get that way. Oh, this is my
yes.
lucky ring. I'm going to wear this today because I need good luck today on this interview or something. So
yes.
just be careful with jewelry.
Well, and I do want to say one thing. You know, when we talk about superstition, superstition is a sin. To be superstitious about stuff is sinful. Tells us so right in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Well, our phone lines are lighting up. You can join us too. 833-288-EWTN is the toll-free number for you to use. When we come back, we're going to go to our phone lines. She's got so much to share with us today, and so do you. So do give us a call or visit us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and leave your question there for us in the chat feature. Coming right back. Stay tuned.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. We're excited to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. Toll free here in North America. You can also join us if you are outside of North America by using this phone number, country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel is open to everybody in this country, out of this country. Simply go out to EWTN's YouTube channel, use the chat feature there, put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We will get it retrieved and up on the board. In addition to that, you can text your question to us. Text it at the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response, and then put in your question, who you are, you know, and where you're calling from. We will get it retrieved and up on the board. Do know that data and message rates may apply. So we've got all that going on for you today, all kinds of ways that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live. We're eager to get your calls and talk about these kinds of things, you know, that are really important for us to know about, really helpful for us to get the truth on and to understand you know, what is okay and what is outside of being okay. You know, what is going to lead us into some kind of perilous spiritual situation. Do want you to know it's Matthew Gubinsky answering the calls today. And we've got Pedro Quiles with us answering, doing all of that gathering together of what you leave us at EWTN's channel on YouTube. EWTN Radio's channel. Okay, let's get out there, Sue, to the phone lines. We've got Erica with us. Erica is a first-time caller. So happy about that. Temecula, California is the way she is with us. Hi, Erica.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, so I have a question about perhaps a particular clothing line my adult son is wearing. The slogan is, heaven can wait. And so just the word itself freaked me out. And there's one shirt in particular he wears when he visits me. And he says it's a mask of a demon. It's not an actual demon. I'm like, well, it represents a demon. And so it is a horrific shirt. I don't know too much about it. I'm not able to find information online. And he's not telling me where he's buying this stuff. So it started off with a shirt. Now it's become like an addiction. He has bracelets he wears. He has all his clothing is this brand, and it all says, heaven can wait. Do you know anything about this?
Sue?
To look up on this, it's a London-based clothing brand that's just gotten to be very, very popular, and it combines, you know, the preppy look with gothic styles. It's described as being very dark, twisted knitwear. And their designs are very, very popular with some people who like to make classic and alternative styles. Devil knit sweaters, what they're calling the thing. So they're kind of, I think, pulling on the occult and the popularity of the occult in the world right now, all over the place. It is not just here in the States, it's all over. There's a lot of skulls that I'm seeing on their products. But then there's also some others that get a little bit even more into the occult that are marketing clothing that has this heaven can wait on it. There's a hoodie out here, and that's being used to raise awareness for mental health issues and that inspired to remind you that heaven can wait because you're needed here on the earth. So, and a lot of these pieces include what they call an angel number, which is believed to be the universe's spiritual way of communicating with you. Some of their hoodies have 444 on it. They believe that's a number for protection. Again, there's that superstition we were just talking about there. And that means that the universe and your spiritual guides are protecting you if you get a piece of clothing that has this number on it. So it just depends on where he's getting it from, why he's wearing it, and who is producing it. This one who's got the heaven can wait, obviously it's not trademarked because there's other people who are using it out here that I'm looking at. There's different places that have this one shop is called Delicate But Deadly. Delicate But Deadly shop has heaven can wait hoodies on it. And that's what the description is about, the spirit guide number and the angel number on it. So it's kind of just like a trendy fashion thing, I think, for a lot of kids. It's just a trendy fashion thing. But there are some dark associations with some of that clothing, for sure.
Erica, let me ask you a question. How old is your son?
My son is 21.
Okay. So, I mean, he's a man at this point in time. Obviously, he's come of age, and it's not really possible for you to, you know, discipline him in any way, you know, with regard to this. I think it's unfortunate that he's interested in this. And I guess I would also ask, you know, what troubles me about what you're saying here is the increase of use of products from that line. And I'm thinking about the fact that oftentimes when people will get involved in the dark sciences and stuff. So we know this from our work, you know, people will enter into one aspect of it, but then pretty soon, you use the word addiction, Erica, pretty soon it is a type of that in the sense that, you know, that they've opened themselves up to things and the spirit will draw them, the evil spirit will draw them more and more into things. I'm not saying that that's the case with him at all. I do think that you are right, Sue. I think that a lot of young people today, this is something that's trendy. They think it's really cool. There is that. He doesn't live at home, it sounds like, Erica, because you say that he wears it when he comes to visit you. So I'm figuring he doesn't live at home. No, that's all right. I was just going to ask if you know anything about the people that he's hanging out with.
Yeah, that one demon shirt in particular, he knows my home is a Catholic home, and it just seems like he wears it every time he visits me, like it's on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always gotten him, crucifixes, rosaries, and he used to, wear a rosary around his wrist, and he's slowly been getting rid of everything, and that is my concern.
Yeah,
I don't even know how to help him.
Well, have you asked him? Have you just said, why is it that why is it that every time you come over here, you've got that shirt on? Or, are you trying to trouble me with regard to this? I mean, have you asked him?
I have. And so his response is like, Mom, you're too sensitive. It's really nothing. You look into everything too much. That's his comment every time.
Well, I think that the best thing for you to do is what you're probably already doing, and that's to pray for him, pray the rosary for him, pray to his guardian angel, ask his guardian angel to protect him from these kinds of things, to open his eyes. Let's just pray that it's a phase and it will pass. It's not unusual for people in that age group to, rebel against the standard by which they were raised, to test the waters for themselves a little bit. We just don't want to find him into, that kind of, I'm using this word a lot today, but it's the only word that's coming into my mind because I think it's a good one, and that's perilous, perilous kinds of straits. We don't want to find him in that way, but your prayers can do much to help. Sue, do you have any advice for Erica?
I would just say absolutely to keep praying for him. And it could be true that he is wearing it because it's like something trendy right now. That could possibly be true. I don't know that I would continue to, bust on him for wearing that. I wouldn't do that.
No.
I would just kind of lay off of that and just keep praying for him. Because if it is just a trend, it's just going to disappear. He'll stop. As soon as something else trendy comes out, he's going to get into that. That's just that age. We were that age too. We just wanted to be, like everybody else and in with the fashion crowd, especially us women. We were so decided about that. And we wore some dark stuff back in our days, those peace symbols with the upside down cross and stuff. That was very big in the 70s and that. So I would just give it over to the Lord and do what you can just to keep your channels of communication open with him.
Yeah. Yeah, because once the channels of communication are broken, Erica, then your influence and capacity to help him to make good decisions, significantly decreases.
Right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. I don't think that our children realize the heartache that they can cause their parents. That's for sure. They don't generally realize that until their parents themselves,
Absolutely. I think that's so true. Looking back just on how rebellious we were, at that age that I was. I'm not bringing you in on it, all this stuff I did, but we were very rebellious.
You know my background.
We did stuff sometimes just to irk them and just to get a reaction out of them. We would do stuff like that. But I don't know. The heaven can wait. Like I said, it is pretty much a big fashion trend right now, London-based. I mean, it's just all very... very, the in thing to do is to wear that kind of stuff, clothing. So
you're right. I can remember not long ago when all of that was influencing what was being shown on the runways in Paris as well, So I don't know. It is a sign of where we are culturally in the world. I'll say that much. Let's get to Mike. Mike is in Illinois. You can call us with your questions too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Sue Brinkman with us today. We talk on Wednesdays about the weird and the wacky. It's Wacky Wednesday. We do invite you to join us in our conversation. Mike is out there in Illinois listening to us via WSOG Radio. We're happy to have you with us, Mike. How are you?
Okay, reason I'm calling is I know a couple of people that are heavily involved in a place called Center of Spiritual Living in Dallas, Texas, which is the Wrong Spirits, and I think I just asking for prayers. And matter of fact, my second phone's about to run out of batteries, I think.
Oh, goodness sakes. Okay, well, let's just...
Because I've been on hold for, you know, since the... Since
yeah,
the
yeah,
show
I
first
started. I understand. Well, we're happy that we were able to get you on. So, you know, I hope you're listening to us in another way other than your phone so that you can hear the response. Oh, good. Okay. Thank
you
so...
Okay, yeah, I guess I could turn on my radio because I listen to Catholic radio most of the time.
Well,
I'm a convert.
Well, thank you so much. We'll let Sue get started with you. Turn your radio on, and while your phone's still working, and Sue, go ahead and talk with us a little bit about it.
Yeah, Mike, you have good reason to be concerned about that. The Centers for Spiritual Living is very problematic. It's a global community. They claim to have about 400 communities around the world. And guess what they teach, Jeanette? A new thought philosophy.
Well,
where
there
we heard
you
that
have
before.
It.
That's about as new age as it gets. They claim that they bring religion and science together. So what does that sound like? Theosophy. And they offer all these spiritual tools to transform your life and make the world a better place. So they practice something called the science of mind and spirit. They call it religious science. This very, very much theosophy, the sound of it in there to me. But they believe in cause and effect. They teach that it is done unto you as you believe. I mean, this is very pagan. This is the Wiccan, very much a Wiccan way of thinking, is this done unto you as you believe. So they claim that your expectations, the way you think, create your reality. There's law of attraction in there.
There you go.
So they're combining all kinds of spiritual paths, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, all these people they're claiming, you're all welcome in our communities. We're all going to teach you all this new stuff. So he has I'm very happy for this question. Mike, I'm glad you hung on. I'm sorry that your battery ran out on your phone, but because I've already marked this down as I want to do some deeper research and looking into this some more to warn people about it. 400 communities around the world, that's kind of a lot. And this is blatantly new age.
Well, it sounds
and,
like it's
I'm afraid that's some Christians.
Sure.
Yes. And I'm afraid Christians are going to get drawn into it because, once again, they present everything as being just so nice and cozy and warm and fuzzy. And it's not. When you look into the background of it, it's bad.
Yeah. You know what it reminds me a lot of? It reminds me a lot of Unity Church.
Yes.
You know?
Unity Church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It reminds me very much of that because that, too, is a compilation of all kinds of New Age thought. And when it talks about faith and science, you know, I'm thinking about John Paul II, Fides et Ratio, his encyclical, Faith and Reason. So faith and science are not in opposition to each other, right? But when they're presenting it this way, it's pseudoscience. That's the other thing to understand. It's not real science. It's pseudoscience. That's what theosophy, as you rightly mentioned, Sue, is all about. You know, it comes up with its own kind of system of thinking with regard to the scientific and combines that with, you know, all of the, pagan occult belief systems. And it's a noxious brew. It sounds very dangerous. Anytime I hear, I don't know about you, Sue, but anytime I hear anything like Center for Spiritual Living, if you hear the word spiritual, you know, you got to really investigate. We talk about the spiritual life within the context of our Catholic faith. You know, that is living a life of union with God. But when they talk about spiritual, they're talking about entities out there. So if it's not related to the Catholic faith, or it's not related to, you know, a solid Christian approach to life, I would be really concerned with anything that has spiritual in its title or in its material.
Absolutely. You've got to look into it because spiritual can be just about anything. And especially if you hear those words, new thought.
Yes.
That's back in the 19th century. That's really where today's New Age movement came from, is from the new thought movement. And it's a very pantheistic belief system. It believes that, you know, practitioners say that there's one God and he's regarded as a universal mind or creative intelligence. He's not a personal being and he manifests himself equally within all of creation. There's no such thing as original sin. There's no Satan or evil, which is why there's no need for Jesus. This is what pantheism is.
That's right.
And so many of these New Age beliefs, especially New Thought, is based in that. A lot of the Hindu religion is also pantheistic. So you got to be really, really careful with that. Like you said, if it has the word spiritual in it, look in there, because a lot of people define spiritual in different ways than we do here in the Christian faith. So you need to look into that and ask those kind of questions. And I just take my hat off to Mike, because I really want to get into that probably like within the next couple of weeks to do a nice big blog on that centers for, I didn't realize that they were as big as they are. And I'm happy that he wrote to us about it. So thank you, Mike.
Yeah, we really appreciate your call, Mike. It's important to stay abreast of what is going on out there in the culture of the day. And, you know, but again, Sue, let's just call it what it is. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. It's all related to what we saw happen with the fall of man right back there in Genesis 3. When it talks about new thought, don't you find that an interesting phrase? You know, so what was it new? What was new about it? I think it was a repudiation of Christianity. I think that that's what it was. That, you know, this is a new thought. You know, we're not going to think like, you know, we traditionally thought. It was a repudiation of the Judeo-Christian ethos, basically, to think in a new way. I'm thinking of Edgar Cayce was really big into that. Norman Vincent Peale was big into that. Those are some of the names that are associated with that. And those names are still very popular in the popular culture. But, you know, all of these things will often take on like a slightly new guise. They'll be presented in a slightly different way. But in their essence, this is all just a turning away from all that is good and true and beautiful, and an entry into a way of thinking that posits man as the center of the universe rather than God as the center of the universe.
And is giving the mind a power. The power to change things just by the way. Right. And it gives it a power that it says they believe that it does. And that's really where that all the whole law of attraction thing comes from, New Thought.
That's right. Was
really where that was born in there. And you have people who believe that they can affect and make things happen in their life simply by the way that they think.
Yes.
And if you think the right way, this is what Rhonda Byrne, The Secret, is all about. These books about that. This is what it is. They're telling you. It actually comes from Mary Baker Eddy. Remember her, the Christian Science?
Yeah, Christian
she founded
Science.
That. Mm-hmm. Phineas Quimby. He thought he could heal by suggestion, that his mind had the power to heal just by, you know, suggesting that, or that your mind, you could heal yourself just by thinking that way. Mary Baker Eddy, of course, then bought into all that. She was very much a follower of Quimby. She believed that man wasn't a material being, but he was only spiritual. Sin, sickness, death, they don't exist. We just think they do. So, yeah, this is, you have to be careful, but it's very popular right now. In our world, is very, very popular, is this law of attraction. And it's sneaking its way into a lot of things, and the people will deny it when I'll write to them and I'll say, do you realize this is based on the law of attraction? No, it isn't. Yes, it is. It's based on the law of attraction. If you think the mind is going to actually make something happen because of the way you think, that's the law of attraction. Now, you can make things happen by learning how to not think negatively about perhaps a certain thing, and then making plans to work to achieve something. That's okay. You can do that with your mind, but your mind can't create something. It's not possible. And that's where New Thought comes in.
Yeah.
It's very seductive. All of this stuff.
It's very seductive.
Very.
And once again, it's assigning to man a power that man does not have, that belongs to God alone. And anytime we begin to see any kind of a belief system or concept or, you know, ideology that's putting that forward, we have to step back. And I do, you know, I feel compelled to say this. I think that we as Catholics have got to be careful too when we're going on retreats, because unfortunately, and you know this to be true, Sue, mm-hmm. you know, into our retreat houses, a lot of this kind of stuff has crept. And, you know, so you really want to kind of do a little vetting with regard to the retreat houses, the programs that they're offering, and who's presenting. Who's presenting the program? You know, listen, we have one life to live. We have one opportunity to cooperate with the grace of God, you know, through the lifetime. It's not one opportunity for all of our lifetime, but one, you know, overarching opportunity to use our time for the honor and glory of God, to draw closer to Him and to enter into union with Him. We don't want to waste our time on these kinds of things that can lead us away and fill us with nonsense. It's a waste of time, it's a waste of energy, and it could be a waste of our soul. So the idea is that we want to truly remain very, very cautious and careful, but we want to follow the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Sue, thanks so much for being with us today, friends. We're going to be back with you tomorrow. God bless you now. Bye-bye.